Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. A husband once said at the start of marriage counseling, "I can remember when I got married, and I can remember where I got married, but for the life of me, I cannot remember why I got married." Well, today Dave and Bethley begin a new series entitled Hindrances in Marriage Relationships. So if that's something you might be saying, this will be a great episode because you're married to your best friend, whether you know it or not. So let's join them.
Introducing a new subject today, we're going to be talking about hindrances in family relationships, specifically hindrances in marriage. Mm-hmm. As we get started, one of the things as we were studying through this that Bethley asked me to do was to think about different synonyms for the word hindrance. So I gave her notes this morning, and I think we have found two full pages of synonyms for the word hindrance.
Thank you, sweetheart.
She actually made fun of me for finding so many. A hindrance is, right at the top of the list, is impediment or an obstacle mm-hmm. or a barrier. See any there that you like in this list?
Obstruction.
An encumbrance.
A block, a check, a curb, a hurdle, a snag.
And a stoppage. That sounds somewhat interesting. Mm-hmm. A stumbling block, a hindrance. You know, and they vary from person to person. So that one of the things we're aware of is that sometimes people have hindrances in their marriage. They're not aware of them because sometimes the hindrances become a way of life. Mm-hmm. And other times it becomes the pathway towards massive issues or even the end of a marriage. And it all starts with hindrances. So one of the things we want to do is just remind you that the Bible is filled with stories of hindrances in family relationships. So it would not be necessarily surprising at all that there would be hindrances each of us have to overcome in our marriages.
Right.
And no matter how long you've been married, there's always the potential for massive hindrances. The first book of the Bible, of course, is the book of Genesis, and you'll find several family scenarios in the book that stand out. Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. and Isaac and Rebekah, and Jacob, right. along with Leah and Rachel. And every one of those are indicative of hindrances. Adam and Eve, the two basic foundations discussed in Ephesians 5, show up as failures in their life. The one thing you notice very early in the book of Genesis is that she did not submit right. to the authority that had forbidden certain things, and he did not lead when she was struggling with those issues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so right away, there was a hindrance in their relationship. Isaac and Rebekah show up later, and well, we can even go to Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah, he was dishonest. Mm-hmm. He several times lied to try to cover things up a little mm-hmm. bit. And later we will be looking a little bit at Ephesians 4, which shows up a lot anytime you're discussing Christian issues in the home and family and life. Mm-hmm. And the first issue he deals with when he talks in Ephesians 4, as you live the Christian life and you're dealing with the old man issues, those sin issues, the first one he mentions is dishonesty. Mm. And we often think, that's not that big a deal. Just, you know, it's just a little dishonest, a little white lie, we might call it. But there's no doubt that Abraham's dishonesty about his wife Sarah and who she was to him, twice in his marriage, dishonesty shows up.
Right.
And in both of those issues, that was a hindrance to their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then Isaac and Rebekah, there were issues of favoritism and disloyalty mm-hmm. and miscommunication. And then in Jacob and Leah and Rachel, that's sounds a weird one to say because it's not Jacob and Leah.
That's just an issue in and of itself.
Right there's an issue all by itself. Jacob and Leah and Rachel, he was a failure as a leader. He mm-hmm. failed to lead.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of issues that show up in the Bible, and in each one of those, it's almost like he's just kind of there. His failure, that was a hindrance to their relationship. In the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel and all of their children and their handmaids, everybody is selfish. It's across the board. There's a lot of arguing. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of just sinful living. Really, I think all of you would know this. Hindrances really are no surprise.
No.
I don't know where I found this. I've had it a long time in my notes. Hindrances are no surprise, and someone somewhere along the way gave me a list of 7 differences between a husband and a wife. Here they are. The first one is this. He's a man.
She's a woman.
He's a man and she's a woman. Did you know that that right there is a recipe for a hindrance? Because we're so different. For instance, here's the second one. He prioritizes the sexual relationship.
And she prioritizes affection, communication, and understanding.
That is very different. Listen to the third one. I thought it was quite humorous almost. He thinks that she ought to prioritize the sexual relationship.
She thinks he should prioritize affection, communication, and understanding.
And that number four is a good one. He banishes problems by not bringing them up.
She forgets problems by talking about them.
And if you're married, I'm sure you've experienced that one right there. he's going to banish the problem, not bring it up, and she wants to talk about it so she can forget it. Which leads me to the fifth one here. He believes it is important not to talk.
She believes it's very important to talk.
Someone somewhere pointed out that one of the ways that we see that is that in the hunting realm, more men hunt than do ladies. And someone said the reason being is because hunting does require an element of silence. Mm-hmm. You have to sit in the deer stand quietly for a long time and wait on the deer to come by. And it's interesting how that in the way God made us, there's potential for hindrances. The sixth one is this. He believes a solution solves everything.
She feels better if he listens without giving a solution.
And I'm sure you've experienced that as well. And here's the last one. He thrives on appreciation. The word would be reverence in the Bible. He thrives on appreciation. Mm-hmm.
And she thrives on communication, affection, and understanding. We would say love.
So he thrives on reverence. She thrives on love. Mm-hmm. He's a man. She's a woman. They think differently about their sexual relationship, affection, communication, understanding about right. How to solve problems. Every one of these are potential for hindrances. And so as we get started, one of the things that's so obvious is that when Bethy and I counsel, or even sometimes just when we're around other couples, it's very obvious that there can be any number of hindrances in a family relationship. And they are nothing new. Song of Solomon, we've referenced in several of our podcasts over the last few weeks. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 10, the author talks about rising up and coming away. So one says to the other, let's get away.
Yes.
And in the course of discussing things, in the 15th verse of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, there's a reference in which the writer says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And what we're finding right there is that in Song of Solomon, the two people there, the husband, the wife, or whether they were espoused, there's different takes on that. Mm-hmm. But what we do find out is that they went away. They took some time to talk about foxes,
right.
Little foxes. Mm-hmm. That spoil the vine because the vines are very tender. And there's all kinds of things we can learn from that. Marriages are fragile because people are fragile. Hmm. And it is amazing that so many marriages end in divorce. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that so many couples have issues, even couples that stay together
right.
can sometimes have issues. And Song of Solomon is reminding us that marriages are fragile, but the key word he uses there is he says there are foxes, there's little foxes that spoil the vines.
Hmm.
And the word spoil has a variety of definitions. Among them, it means to bind. There are issues that bind, that offend, that corrupt, that ruin, that break. Mm. Those are all hindrances. The word actually spoil in the Hebrew language comes from a root word means to be wound tightly, like a rope that is tightly wound together. And mm-hmm. it's quite a word picture if you think about it. Mm-hmm. So many marriages are wound very tightly.
Right.
And
right.
they're ready to blow.
Mm-hmm.
And it especially shows up in the way people talk to each other.
It does.
Mm-hmm. And tell our audience about our walk the other morning.
Well, we try to take a walk almost every morning. And when we walk with our Peyton, who is our English Golden Retriever. She's still a puppy, so she's very interested in everything that's going on around on our walk. And we got about halfway through. We're going around a cul-de-sac, and there was a couple that was coming out to their car. They were loading their trunk of their car with things. And their puppy, who is much smaller than Peyton, but seems very fierce, came barking and running across the yard. And of course, we stopped and David tries to...
Poor thing was running as best it could. It was slightly on the overweight side of things.
Well, I was trying to be kind. So anyway, David tries to train Peyton. He is training Peyton, and so he had her sit. You just sit, let the puppy come to you. Anyway, but what happened with this couple? They're slightly older than us. At least they appeared to be slightly older than us. And so you would think they've probably been married a long time. I don't know their whole situation. But anyway, she snarls at her husband, "Why didn't you shut the door?" And then he kind of snarls back, "My hands are full. Can't you see my hands are full?" So she was getting after him, of course, for letting the dog out. But I was just slightly taken aback that they felt so free to speak that way to each other in front of us.
The way they acted.
It does. It didn't seem to take them by surprise at all. And so they were very tightly wound.
They really, really were. You know, there are times all of us can be that way.
Yes.
Maybe we didn't sleep well, or we're not feeling well, or, you know, we've had a busy day, mm-hmm. or something's on our mind. But when we are wound tightly, we are spoiling the vine. Mm. We are damaging the lifeline to our marriage, because the vine is always a picture of the lifeline. Mm-hmm. And so Song of Solomon chapter 2 reminds us that the best time to take care of these hindrances is when they are small, mm-hmm. while the vine is still giving life.
Right.
And while the vine is still able to be met, the need is still able to be met.
Right.
To take care of that little fox. You got to take care of it.
In a past episode, past podcast about communication, about taking care of those little foxes.
Sure. And so this is a reminder as we jump into this idea of hindrances to a happy marriage, part one. Beth and I really have three to discuss with you today, and we'll just jump right in. The first one that is a massive hindrance in so many marriages is what I call past issues. Mm. And every one of us come to our marriages with issues from the way we were raised. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're bigger, and especially in our culture when there are so many dysfunctional families.
Yeah, there's a lot of brokenness.
Hurts and resentments. Mm-hmm. For instance, a spouse whose dad, you know, left them when they were young, mm-hmm. or whose parents always fought.
Right.
Or who had sisters and stepbrothers and stepmoms and multiple sometimes stepdads. Right. There are any number of past issues that can come into our lives that we carry over into our marriage. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not from our past. It's from we get started in what we think is a happy marriage, the love of my life. We will always be in love. And we fail to take care of issues that come up, mm-hmm. as they come up.
Right.
And they compound and mm-hmm. they get bigger. And we don't solve them and they get bigger. Goes back again to Song of Solomon. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Mm-hmm. We've got to deal with things in order to remove the potential for the hindrance.
Right.
And obviously the best time to deal with them is when they're very small. So if you're mm-hmm. everything is really well in your marriage, it's never wrong to do a little checkup. Is there anything in our marriages, anything in our relationships? Not that big a deal right now. Mm-hmm. It's a little fox. It's just a little thing. You know, it's kind of doing a little damage here and there, but nothing that's going to cause us to get a divorce or separate from one another. But Song of Solomon is reminding us the best time to deal with them is when they're small. But the Bible is very clear that no matter what the issue is, it needs to be dealt with. Whether it's small, whether it's large, whether your marriage is just getting started or you're just on the verge of divorce.
Well, this is Michael Barnett, and you've been listening to the start of the series, Hindrances in Marriage Relationships. Join us next time for the continuation of this series. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or KeepingItYoungPodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.